It's because we know that you do have a charge to keep and a calling to fulfill. Each one of you, it's because of this that we have gathered you all together here. We're very jealous over every one of your lives, that you each would find and fulfill all the will of God. There is a reason why you're here. Well, I want to introduce the speaker for this session this morning, and then he will not need introduction for the rest of the week. But Brother Keith Daniels has come from South Africa to minister to you young people. We brought him all the way from South Africa because we love you. Because we love you. And we felt like he had something that would speak to your hearts and sanctify your lives. And so we asked him to come and challenge you and bless you. He is a faithful minister of the gospel in South Africa, and he will faithfully minister to you. So we'll give the time to you, Brother Keith. May God's blessing be upon you as you share with us.
I am deeply grateful to God for this great privilege He's given me to come to your lovely land. And I have been here before, but this time I come with my wife. And I am so grateful she's here this morning. Not often I can preach to my wife. She lets me go away so often, and she's been very brave, never stood in my way. Have I done something wrong?
Turn your mic on.
Is it not on? Okay. Good. Is that better? Well, I do thank the Lord that my wife is here and my little baby boy, our baby boy, he's come along with us too, little Samuel. And he's enjoying America because of the lovely family that he's staying with. He doesn't really know much about that. He's in a different continent, I think. But he's very conscious he's with a different type of people. And he's enjoying it. And so is Jenny. We're very grateful to this godly man and his godly wife and his godly children for the love we've been shown. And I do so appreciate him asking me and the other ministers of this wonderful group of Christians asking me to come at this time. And I do bless the Lord for all of you young people who love Christ in this world. That's a testimony. Don't listen to the devil. He'll tell you all sorts of things are that you're not worthy and God doesn't love you. But if you make a stand for God in this world, this wicked world, this last moment, you are precious to God. You are treasured by God. You are prized by God. You're His responsibility. You're His property. And don't doubt that. The moment you seek God in this world, you've made a stand that millions are not willing. Millions who would serve the devil. So as young people, I would just encourage you to assure you that Christ loves you and watches over you, no matter what the devil tells you, no matter how weak you are in your own eyes. The fact you're here, God loves you. He loves you dearly. I'd like to just have a short prayer. Can we all bow before God? We thank Thee, God, that Thou hast died, God the Son, that Thou hast died for me to live. No man ever cared for me or loved me that much. We thank Thee for Thy love. We thank Thee that Thou dost live in our hearts, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Christ in you is the hope of glory. There's no hope of glory if Christ is not in us. But we bless Thee forever, Lord, that Christ is in us. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Oh, live out thy life within me, thou Jesus, King of kings. Let the world see Jesus in me. Live out thy life through me, as I am crucified with thee, by faith. Come to this meeting, hold us and protect us under the blood from all the powers of darkness, and by the Holy Spirit make thy word alive. To all of our hearts, sanctify thy word. Stand beside me, Lord, in this pulpit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit anew. Anoint my lips and my mind and my heart, and speak through me to this people. In Jesus Christ's name. In Jesus Christ's name. We all ask these things of thee, our Father. Amen. You don't have to turn to this psalm unless you really like to turn, but you all know it so well. And I'd like to just read just a few little verses to you of Psalm 1. Blessed. That's a lovely word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, those who would mock God or those who follow God. Blessed is such a man. But his delight, I love that word, not his disciplined, hard-pressed duty that becomes a burden, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Oh, for such a man. Oh, blessed is such a man. He delights more in God's word than in fellowship. He delights more in God's word than anything. This word here is the central love of his life, bringing out. Nothing comes near it. Day and night, nothing keeps him from the word. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate. The great thing, not just reading, meditating. Unhurried time with God's word. Nothing will hurry me. Nothing is more important. Nothing is pressing me that's more important. It makes me think I can't go on. There's something more important. This is the most loved thing in my life. His delight. Oh, day and night he meditates. He meditates. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In Africa, when you go through the desert parts of our country, it's barren. The stubs of trees, dead, miles upon miles as all the droughts hit our land year after year. Suddenly, you're travelling along this desert land, there's just trees, a long line of them. You know, one reason, there's a river. There's a river. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Oh, the tragedy of an ungodly person. Are you ungodly? You know. You don't need more than that to elaborate. You can have the answer written across your life, echoing in your heart right now. It's you. Are you ungodly? The ungodly are not so. Oh, I don't want to read the ungodly's part. God says will come on you. And I guarantee you it will be your whole life. Whatever the devil says to you of the joys of sin, oh, cursed would be written across your life.
sorrow. But oh, the blessedness of the young man who won't go the ways of the ungodly, won't listen to their influence, or sit scornful of those who would be godly. No matter what the world says, I would be godly, and written across your life by God would be the word blessed. Blessed. I was saved 30 years ago at the age of 21. I had come from such a sorrowful background. But I knew God could save a soul when I looked at my brother. When I looked what God did in that man's life, someone I hadn't loved in my unsaved days, now I loved him. I loved him on the day he came to Christ. I wanted this God to be my God, his people to be my people. I determined in my heart before I heard the first sermon on the true gospel that thy God shall be my God when I saw what God did to my brother. When I looked at these people he was mixing with, choosing now for the first time in his life, they didn't need dirty jokes or filth to enjoy life. Out of their heart welled up joy I'd never ever seen in my life in any human that I'd ever met. I long for this God to be my God, this people to be my people, the people my brother now loved, that were one with him, who had true joy. I remember going along to the old Presbyterian church in South Africa in the town called Boksburg, where my brother was going along to. And this old Scottish Presbyterian minister, he died shortly after this moment that I'm recording. God spared him in his sickness for me. And then God took him. I know that. I needed to hear what that man said. When I came to him and I said, I want God to do for me what he's done for my brother. I want to be saved. I want this God to be my God. And he looked at me and he said, I won't pray with you, boy. I won't pray with you. I've heard of you. I've heard people praying for you. I won't pray with you. Unless you count the cost. It costs to be a Christian, Keith. Where I come from, it costs. Here in your land, I hear people saying it's free, it's grace, come. It's free. It's not free. No, it's by grace. It will cost you more dearly than anything will ever cost you in life to be saved. It will cost you all your friends. I guarantee you, just looking at you, Keith, you won't have one left. They'll desert you. It will cost you, Keith. Written across your life, if you're going to truly ask God to save you. Written across your life from this moment till the day you die, if you're truly going to get saved. Will be written by God these words for the whole world to see. Finished with the world. Finished with the world. By the way you dress. By the way you speak. By the company you choose. By the places you choose to go to, written across your life by the places you go, everyone will see finished with the world. Finished with the world. Otherwise you're wasting my time. You're wasting your time. You're wasting God's time in coming saying here you want to become a child of God. Count the cost. I won't be guilty of praying with a man and letting him walk out of this door with a testimony. And all he has is a testimony, but he goes to the same place as the world goes. I I won't be guilty of letting a man have a testimony. And he thinks he can go to where the world goes. And dress like the world. And be like the world. Oh no. There is the world, but you're not of the world. When you come to God, when you come to God, written across your life will be these words. And every single person that ever knows you will see these words written across your life. Otherwise you're lying. When you say you're saved, you're lying. Now go and count the cost while I say goodbye to all these people. I went over to his home, the manse next door where the minister lived. And I thought to myself, I don't see this as a cost. I don't care who I lose as friends. I don't care what it costs. I don't want that life. I hated the last few years. Even in laughter, the heart was sorrowful. It's a lie to think being unsaved is a joy. It's a lie of the devil to say that sin brings happiness. It doesn't. It doesn't. He came in. He didn't say to me, have you counted the cost? He said, get on your knees. It's old man. He read a few verses of the Word of God here and there for 10 minutes or so. It gave great illumination to my heart. He said, pray. Now I think I prayed everything wrong. I'd never prayed aloud in my life. There was about 10-15 people in that room, all on their knees, waiting for me to pray now. And I had come out of terrible sin. Terrible sin. But I prayed. God doesn't look at the words that proceed out of the mouth. He looks at the heart from whence they come. Oh, I think I prayed everything wrong. What this man had expected me to pray. God saw in his heart I was looking to the blood of Jesus. Alone for the first time in my life to wash me that I may be forgiven. I was looking to a risen Christ that I knew could transform a life totally. Hallelujah. And I longed for that to happen to me. And I received him in a childlike way into my heart and life. I stood up after that prayer. And the first thought that came to my mind was, I don't feel any different. I don't feel any different. And that really stunned me. I didn't say it with my lips. I just thought it. I feel the same. I don't feel any different. I had thought there would be a flood of joy. I don't know quite what I thought, but I was waiting for some amazing feeling. I don't feel any different. And somehow this godly old Presbyterian minister, he looked at me and it was like he read my thoughts. He said, it doesn't matter if you don't feel any different. I looked at him. It doesn't matter if you don't feel anything. And he did something remarkable. He took the old King James Bible, the these and thous, you know, that people argue against. It's difficult to understand. They said, he put it in my hand. And he looked me in the eyes and said, Keith, this is your source of survival till the day you die from this day. Take it, boy. Soak yourself in the Bible as the greatest priority of your life, every day of your life, and you will never backslide. This is your source of survival. The greatest priority the devil has from this moment to the day you die is to keep you from this book. He will war with you to keep you from this book. And if he does, everything's going to go wrong. But if you can keep yourself that you never allow the devil, no matter what he's doing, no matter what he's crying out every day, if you can keep yourself that you never neglect the Bible till the day you die, nothing will go wrong, boy. Nothing. Get away from the crowd, Keith. When you see time given to you by God, take it with both hands and soak yourself in the Word of God. Every time God gives you time, take it. Soak yourself in the Word, boy. I went to my home. It was about 10 o'clock in the night. And I opened, he said to me, start with the book of John tonight. Get through John, then start in Matthew. Go through chapter upon chapter, right through to Revelation, the whole New Testament. Do that at least 3 times. Then take the Old Testament. 3 of the Old, 3 chapters of the Old, 3 of the New, every day. Never less. Often more. And you'll find there's many, many opportunities that's going to come with more when you can read whole books in one day of the Bible. Don't lose that time. Well, I at home got on my knees and I opened to the book of John and I thought to myself, I've never understood this old language. This these and thous. But I'll read anyway. And so I began to read. And I read. And I read. And suddenly I saw the tears dropping on the pages. And I thought, I understand it. I understand every word. And it's speaking to me. It's not like a dead book. It's like these verses of God speaking to me. I began to mark with a pen. I marked, oh, look at God saying this to me. When no human voice could penetrate, there's a voice going. When only God's voice can reach. Oh, look at this. Suddenly I looked back, every single verse on the whole page I'd marked. The whole book was alive. The next thing I knew was I looked up, the sun was shining. I hadn't slept the whole night, it was daytime. I had to go to work. I didn't feel tired though. And I went to work. Tea time came, we had this tea bell that rang. I didn't give a chance to anyone to say one word to me, I just fled. With the Bible. I want a few more chapters. Lunchtime came. I didn't want to eat. I wanted the Word of God. Oh, the Word of God. The Word of God. I didn't realize it. This book says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. There's no other source of growth when you're born of God. As newborn babes. What does God mean there? You became a child of God. You weren't born a fully grown spiritual man. That takes years. Don't try and be like that. But you're God's child when you're born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, he said that to a very religious man. And there was confusion here. Born again? Unless a man is born again, there's no hope of him ever getting to heaven. What do you mean? How can a man be born when he's old? He can't get in his mother's womb and come out a second time, he said to Christ. He was stunned, he was confused, he was almost offended at such a thought. There's no understanding. Christ looked at this man, and in essence, this is what he began to say, which was expounded throughout the scriptures of what Christ said to Nicodemus. When you're born, physically, you're not born a child of God. The moment you come out of your mother's womb, you're born into the family of your mother and father. You're their child. At that moment, you became a child of your mother and father. You weren't born a child of God. No man is born a child of God. You must be born again. You were born physically. You have to be born spiritually. No child can be born a child of God. Because by grace are ye saved through faith. Now no child can put faith, no child's intellect can be able to function to put faith in the blood of Jesus Christ to be born of God. No one is born a child of God when he's born. A child of his mother and father. You must be born again. The moment you're born again of God, you look me in the eyes and say, how do I know? I'll tell you. The Word of God, can you? You look at the baby. He doesn't have a vocabulary to know, Mommy, I want milk.
But when a baby wants milk, he knows he wants milk. He just opens his mouth. The whole world doesn't need him to speak to know what he wants. He needs milk. Let me tell you, if you're born again, you need milk. You survive by it. You can't do without it. If you can do without it, you're not saved. When you're born again, it is life. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirits through the child of God through this word, not through some sensational emotion. You know, as God speaks to you, this book becomes alive. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. He can't discern them. But the moment the Holy Spirit is in you, you see the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. This book becomes alive when God is in you. When the Holy Spirit is in you, it's dead until then. It's dead. But when you are alive in Christ, when Christ is in you, you're born of God, you desire the sincere milk of the Word as newborn babes. That's all you are. And all God expects of you, and all God holds out to you, is that you desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. No other way. You will grow through the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, by food, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You will die if you don't take food for your physical, once you're born physically. You will die if you don't take food spiritually, once you're born spiritually. You cannot live without the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You live by it. You stay alive by it. You know you're alive by it. Because you have to take it. You have to live by it. You can't do without it. You can't survive without it. And can you imagine a child that he's truly born of God, starving, hungry, and pushing it aside? If you're born of God and it's there for you to take, you will take it. Or otherwise, you're not born of God. You need to be born again. And you will never know what the witness of the Spirit is in your heart, where you know you are, until this book is your greatest source of survival, of life. You know you live by it. Word of God. A man once stood in a pulpit and shocked everyone as he held this book out, and he said with a loud voice, "This is worthless. Don't waste your time with this. Take my word for it. This can do nothing for you ever in your life. It's a waste of time. This is worthless to you. I guarantee all of you. So don't waste your time with it." I think people were becoming offended when he suddenly opened it and said, "But this will make you holy. This is worthless. No good having a Bible that isn't open more than it's closed. If you carry it closed, one of the greatest theologians in the world stood with me. You take IVP commentary, probably the most popular commentary out today amongst evangelicals. A good third of that commentary was written by Dr. R.J. Serres. Serres stood with me one day, and I was speaking to him about the Word of God, what it meant to me. And this man, one of the greatest authorities in the world, he's dead now. Those days, he was regarded as one of the four greatest authorities in the world of Old Testament Hebrew. He looked at me as I spoke of the Word of God, and he opened up the front of his Bible, and he'd written these simple words, the only words he'd ever written in the front of his Bible that he ever added between the covers of this book. He wrote these words, "Sin will keep me from the Bible, but the Bible will keep me from sin." Sin will keep me from the Bible, but the Bible will keep me from sin. You know, I took a pen and I wrote it. I wrote it. I thought those words were enough to put in the pages of the fall, that all these wonderful words of God. Oh. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Thy word have I hid within mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's the only reason, Lord, that I've hid it within my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, it's so true. This can do nothing for you, but this will make you holy. It will make you holy if it's the great priority of your life, if it's the source of survival. Every day of your life, the wonderful word of God. 30 years later, after that man held this book and put it in my hands, not one day for 30 years did anything ever draw me away from it that was more important to me. Not my wife, though I would die for her willingly, without a hesitation. Not my children, who are my precious treasure, who made life rich. Nothing. Not God's work. Nothing has kept me for 30 years from the time I needed to soak myself unhurriedly in the Word of God. And no other reason can I give the world that I did not backslide for 30 years but this one reason. I never neglected the Word of God. I never neglected the Word of God. Are you backslidden? You neglected the Word of God. No other reason. Wasn't that temptation? You cold. You wondering whether you ever were saved. You neglected the Word of God. You're on fire for God. You never neglected the Word of God. That's why you're on fire, brother, from the day you were saved today. You grew and grew and grew and stood out for Christ. You never neglected the Word of God. You look like an unsaved person even though you have had an experience. You neglected the Word of God. No other reason. This wasn't central for survival. This was neglected. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You have faith that moves mountains. You soak yourself in the Word of God. You've never seen one prayer ever answered, so you don't pray for mighty things. It's because you neglect the Word of God. D.L. Moody. Moody was one of the greatest soul winners the world has ever seen. Moody had a son at 6, by the by. He read through no theological seminar. He had no degrees of theology behind his name. But it was Moody that God took up. A man with a standard 6, no theological seminars to talk of, but to give him the right to stand in the great purpose of the world. But he won millions to Christ. Moody won millions to Christ. Do you know why Moody won millions to Christ? Because he was mightily saved and filled with the Spirit later? No. Moody was mightily saved. And at a moment in his life when he absolutely surrendered his life to God, God took hold of him, filling, taking full control of him with the Spirit, complete control. That's all it means to be filled with the Spirit. When at absolute surrender, God takes complete control. And in every circumstance, you're spontaneously reacting with the fruit of the Spirit. Moody was filled with the Spirit, but something hurt Moody. Something grieved Moody. Something brought Moody to a standstill, Spirit-filled and all. Moody said, my prayers were not being answered. I was asking God for things. I was asking God to reach Chicago. I was asking God for things. And my prayers were not being answered. And I used to pray as a young Christian, zealous for God, longing to see great things, but not seeing these things happening. I would come broken before God that my prayers were not answered. And I would say, Lord, give me faith. My faith is so weak. I need faith, God. Give me faith. And he said, I thought that it would come like lightning from heaven. In one moment, God will give me faith and answer to prayer. I'd stand up, able to pour out my heart and see God rending the heavens and mountains removed. I thought faith would come in one moment as an answer to prayer, but God didn't do that. One night, I got on my knees and I opened the Bible. He did what Andrew Murray said. South Africa's Andrew Murray. The holiest man South Africa ever had in its history. Andrew Murray said, don't ever open the Bible. Don't ever get on your knees, he said. Don't ever get on your knees to pray unless you open the Bible. Because if you do, then you just have a one-way conversation to God. But when you open the Bible, you speak and God speaks. That's prayer. Communing with God. Open the Bible. Keep a pen beside you. Whenever you get down to pray and speak to God, expect God to answer you. And he will. Andrew Murray said, this isn't an ordinary book. It's a living miracle. In God's sovereignty, in God's almightiness, wherever you are in life, whatever crisis you're facing, you will find it amazing, stunning, where you are at. God speaks to you. God speaks literally that there's no doubt. This is God comforting you when you're suddenly wounded. And the very first word you speak will be God's comfort. When you need guidance, God will be guiding you. Or if you're consistent, you read the book with an open heart to hear God's voice, he will speak. And when he speaks, take the promise, mark it, put the date, for God surely will answer it. God surely will. Oh, Moody did it. He got on his knees, now he did something he'd never done before, he said. He got on his knees, he opened the Bible at random, just opened. And he prayed again from his heart. Oh, God, give me faith. Here he comes again. His prayers hadn't been answered, but this time he opens the Bible. Give me faith. I need faith. He opened his eyes, not expecting anything. And he read these words. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by the word of God. Oh, he said, I never prayed and asked God to give me faith again. God told me where to get it. I had read about 6-7 verses of the Bible, he says, in the day. I meditated it, but I was held on them. I didn't go further. But now I just stopped everything. All my running around, all my preparation to think, I just said, no, this is what I need now. I don't need anything else. I read chapters. I laid down everything in life, and I read chapters and chapters and chapters. Days just reading, soaking. And from that time, God began to answer my prayer. God took Moody. There was a movement of God across the cargo that had never been seen. Never been seen. Didn't go sheep stealing. He wouldn't bypass a soul, Moody. And suddenly God was working. God took this man to Scotland. And the greatest revival in the history of Scotland came through a man who didn't have a standard, who had a standard 6. I don't know what that's in your country, grade something or other. 6th grade. Moody was taken there. The great John Knox was used to turn Scotland away from Rome and the heresies of the Roman doctrine. But it was Moody. It was Moody that turned the nation to God in the greatest revival that has ever been seen. Do you know what Moody prayed when he stood in Scotland? Can you imagine a man praying this prayer and God answering it? He stood in the pulpit and said, oh God, bring this land back to thyself through me. He's an American man. The first pulpit he stands in Scotland. Praying that prayer, wasn't that presumptuous? Wasn't that presumptuous? Oh no. God swept down from heaven. And across that land, from the moment Moody prayed that prayer, and the greatest revival that has ever been seen in Scotland. People turning to God across the land. Everywhere they're seeking God as Moody crossed the land. The whole world trembled. The whole world trembled as they looked at what was happening in Scotland. a land seeking God. And here was the man, Moody. He went to Oxford and Cambridge, you know. Can you imagine Oxford and Cambridge combining in the great hall to hear a man who had a standard 6? They laughed when they heard his American accent. The English didn't quite like that. They thought it was murdering their accent, murdering their language. And there he stood with a big bowler hat. And he wasn't really the best dressed man on earth. He had this old shabby type of jacket on. He's like me. My wife goes through a terrible time to get me to have different clothes. Well, there he stood, not exactly looking like a great orator. I mean, the greatest orators of the world would come to speak to this people, the most privileged students on earth at Oxford and Cambridge in those days, the future leaders of the empire, British Empire. And there they sat, and as they heard this man, they began to roar with laughter. And the roars just came, and the dean, everyone screaming, "Stop! This is outrageous!" They couldn't stop laughing. And Moody just prayed in his heart for God to come. He raised his voice above all the laughter. As he stood up there, after 10 minutes, there was a stunned silence. After a few minutes more, there was weeping. A few minutes later, the whole hall, thousands of them, on their faces, screaming, not just crying, screaming for mercy. Why did God use this man and not the great Spurgeon, the greatest preacher that ever lived? Spurgeon stood in the... That never happened when Spurgeon... How does a man with a standard 6 stand up? Oh, you see, one reason God answered his prayers, because he found the source of faith. He stood in his old age as godly Moody. In the end, when the whole world was staggered, the unsaved in their millions knew the name Moody. Moody was the name known across the world as the greatest soul winner alive. In his old age, Moody said these words, "I attribute everything that God ever did through me, whether to a town, city, or nation, to one reason. The faith that came into my heart as I began to soak myself in the Word of God, the source of faith." Tell me, how many times have you read through the Bible? Can I ask every one of you to answer God? You read 3 chapters a day. In 1 year, you threw the Bible once. Just 3 chapters. Now, that will take you 15 minutes, and you have to go pretty slow to not read more. You haven't read through the Bible once. It means you didn't give God 3 chapters. You didn't give God 15 minutes. You wonder why your life is worthless. You wonder why your prayers aren't answered. You wonder why you have no faith. Shame on you. I can think of no other word but shame on you. If you have not read through this book from cover to cover once in 1 year, you didn't give God 15 minutes of 24 hours. Everything else was so important. Your education. Oh, you gave hours! What could have kept America from being defiled? The land that once sent missionaries out and Bibles above all other nations now sends out depravity. And if God's people had had faith and prayed through, and you'll only pray when you see your prayer has been answered, and the more they answer, the more you'll pray until you're praying for your nation. You'll never pray for your nation until you see God answering your prayers in the small thing. You'll never pray in faith in a way that can move this mountain that's surrounding the whole world, what's leaving America, to corrupt the world now. Three chapters. You read 6 chapters a day. It's half an hour. You would have been through the Bible twice in the last year. Half an hour is nothing, you know. My daddy, my father was saved when he was 51 years of age. And he wasted no time. In 9 years, he read through this book 68 times. 68 times. He didn't neglect the other books of spiritual value. I have his book. Andrew Murray's. All Andrew Murray's. Matthew Henry's commentary. Adam Clark. Notes on every page. devoured the things of God, but he never neglected the Word. 68 times, from cover to cover in 9 years. Do you know that when my daddy prayed, every prayer he ever prayed, that men ever heard him pray, God answered immediately, with the exception of one prayer. Do you know that in your daddy's life? Do you know why such men lived? Nothing kept them from the Word. They found the source of faith, and they prayed. I remember my daddy praying for me. You know, as he prayed for me, I stood in fear. I won't tell you what my father prayed for my life, for God to do in my life. It's sacrilege to say the words my daddy prayed. What he wanted God to do in and through me. I stood and I trembled and I began to weep. You know why? Because I knew God would answer this prayer. Not because of anything in me, but because of my father. Because I knew every prayer the man prayed, God answered. Immediately. With the exception of one that man ever heard him pray. Every prayer my father uttered was answered by God right that moment. It shook the world. It shook everyone. The godly would turn to him in meetings. Ministers stopping halfway through their sermon when they saw his face. Mr. Daniel, stand and pray for us. That God breaks through here. No other man was called upon in the middle of a service to pray like that. Why? Why? Because God wants his prayer. The holiest man of God I ever knew on earth, the holiest man of God I ever stood with, was Mr. Will MacFarlane. He loved us as a family. He read through this book 400 times, 423 times. He shone something from within. He shone of integrity, of purity, of sanctified life that only the Word of God can give. He loved my darling wife as a daughter. And he told her one day, every prayer I ever prayed, God has answered, apart from one. Can you imagine why? 400 times. Do you know that you could easily read through this book 400 times, young man? Do you know that within you can shine, that men tremble in your presence? I trembled in his presence when I looked at him, when I saw how holy God could make a man. Do you know how easy it is for you to one day look the world in the eyes and they will find out you've read through this book over 400 times? If you made it the priority, you think you will neglect everything else that's important. You won't. God won't allow you to do that. He doesn't want you to use your common sense. And the closer you are to God, the more you'll put your priorities right. You won't neglect. And the little bit of time you do put will be so honored by God as you pray, even for your studies. Of course, there's discipline in every aspect of life. But the greatest discipline must be this. Otherwise, I guarantee you, everything else will be vanity in your life one day. And worthless. And cause you heartache, not the great things you think lie ahead because of the time you put in them now. Don't neglect the Word of God, ever, for anything. Not at this time of your country's history. Imagine if everybody in this building one day could say, or be said of you, every prayer they pray, every prayer he prays, every prayer she prays. Men tremble because they know God is going to answer. Imagine if there was another Modi in America. Cries out to God, give me this land. Bring this land back to thyself through me. Imagine if it was a man who had that ability. Through faith, through knowing that every prayer he prays, since he soaked himself in the Word of God, God answers. When will you stand up, Christians of America, and move this nation back to God? Do you think you're waiting for revival? Or maybe it will come when you start getting down to the Word of God again as your greatest priority, and finding your prayers answered until you're praying in a way for America that it will come back to God. Until then, I wonder if you will ever see revival. I doubt it. You want the stepping stones to revival? Oh, people of God, get back to the Word of God. Get back to the Word of God. As your greatest love in life, your greatest source of survival, your only source of faith that will move nations back to Christ in days when we get back to the Bible, in days when we start spending days and start praying after those few days. I'm going to ask you something that's going to cost you. I'm going to ask every one of you that know you're born of God, that know you neglect this book so badly, that need to say to God today, forgive me, my God. I've looked at the news, what's happening in my nation. I blame the government. I blame everything. But I'm to blame. I wouldn't have spent so much time listening in the news and condemning everything else on earth but myself. If I was able to pray and had prayed, this nation's news would have been different. This nation's history would have been different. I wonder how many of you need to say to God, forgive me. I'm the one that could have changed this nation. I'm condemning everything. And everything could have changed through me, not through my condemnation, but through the faith that came through the Word. If I'd only soaked myself and been an instrument in the hand of God for revival on my knees. I want those of you that are guilty. I'm not asking a superficial thing here. You're so guilty, you're ashamed. You need to be. You need to be. Ask God for mercy for the neglect of His Word. To make a vow to God this morning.
It will be first in my life now, every day. Not my studies. And I guarantee you God will start answering your prayers, Christians of America. Only when this book, source of faith, is taken up again. Those of you that desperately need to vow that to God, that are so neglected that you're ashamed, that is going to cost you. And you're not going to neglect it again. This is going to be soaked in your life. Those of you that need to ask forgiveness for this terrible thing of neglecting God's Word, and to vow this to God that I'll never neglect it from this day. I want you to stand, those that need to say that to God. I only ask once. Will you all who are standing please pray aloud these words? O God, please forgive me for wasting so much time and neglecting the Word of God. Forgive me that I loved other things more than the Word of God. Wash me in the blood for ever having done this. Wash me deeply in the blood from all failure in my life, God. And I vow to Thee from my heart that from this day I will never neglect the Word of God again. I long to bring America back to Thee through my prayers. Give me faith, God, through Thy Word.
In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Can we all remain standing? Can those sitting please stand?
Now, I'm not going to make a strong appeal to those of you that are not born again. And therefore, as newborn babes, you never knew what it was to live and survive and stay alive through the Word of God. I just say this to you. You're here for a few days. If you're unsaved and you're sitting with these people seeking God as the children of God, you need desperately to seek God as soon as you can to save your soul. Not to wait for a message. To go to someone you respect who's godly, young or old, and say, "Help me. I'm not born again. I'm not saved. Help me to find Jesus through you." You walk up to them and you go and stand somewhere and kneel somewhere and you pray through. You pray through. I don't know about you, but I haven't got a shadow of a doubt that this nation of yours could turn back to God in the most staggering way that would make the whole world look back to America, as it looked in the days of Finney, and the revival that came through Finney, through what he preached and believed. Revival spread through England, Ireland, Wales, South Africa, and many, many countries of the world. The most revivals the world has ever seen is when men look back to what America did when Finney lived. Oh, that the world would look back to you again. I haven't got the slightest doubt that God will make the world look back to this land if you people do what you vowed to do and pray to God for the greatest thing you could right now. Bring this land back to thyself now. Stop the devil from destroying it. Bring America back to Christ. You might not be a preacher, but on your knees you might be the one that makes God rend the heavens and come down if you obey what you've heard today through this book. Don't doubt it now. Change your history on your knees while you soak yourself in this book. Brother, will you take over?
We all got to hear that. How many times I've heard older men and women say, "I wished I'd have heard a message like that when I was young." You have heard it. Blessed art thou. All you young people, you are blessed. The meeting is dismissed. What is the time schedule, Brother Paul? All right, then you may come. You can be seated.